An Atonement for the People is the title of today's exhortation, taken from Numbers chapter 16 and verses 39 to 50. We have two thoughts following our introduction, verse 41 to 45, intercession, and verse 46 to 50, intervention. Matthew Henry observed well, "A new rebellion raised the very next day against Moses and Aaron. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and wonder, O earth. Was there ever such an instance of the incurable corruption of sinners? On the morrow, the body of the people mutinied. Though they were so lately terrified by the punishment of the rebels, the strikes of those sinking sinners." You remember? The earth crumbled suddenly at the right place, and then there was the fire that came out that consumed 250 of the people of Korah. And those were two instances. And then, after seeing all these things, the next day, this happened again. So that's the human heart, the human heart. The streaks of those sinking sinners and those sinners against their own souls were yet sounding in their ears. The smell of the fire yet remained, and the gaping earth was scarcely thoroughly closed, so they could still see all the signs of what has gone before. And yet the same sins were reacted, and all these warnings slighted. Though they were so lately saved from sharing in the same punishment, and the survivors were as brands plucked out of the burning, yet they fly in the face of Moses and Aaron, to whose intercession they owed their preservation. Their charges run high, Matthew Henry says. "You have killed the people of the Lord." Could anything have been said more unjustly and maliciously? They said, "You kill the people of the Lord." You recall we have two sessions on this chapter. The first, the gainsayings of Korah. And the second, the tabernacle of Korah. So not only were the words spoken that came against God and His honor and His order, but also the second thing that came, was that they built a tabernacle that would seek to elevate in the house of God their own little corner of influence, we say. That's something that did not go down well in the sight of God, in the sight of what the Lord has meant that Israel should be as a people of God. So Matthew Henry says, they canonized the rebels, calling those the people of the Lord who died in the arms against Him. So they said that, these are the people of God. You have killed the people of God. And it came to pass, the congregation began to gather against Moses and Aaron. So not only did they accuse Moses and Aaron, you see, when the judgment came, the earth crumbled, you would have been able to understand that it is of God. It cannot be that only that area where the Korah and his group stood fell through. And yet, after this, the next day, this murmuring took place. They stigmatized divine justice itself. It was plain enough that Moses and Aaron had no hand in their death. They did what they could to save them, so that in charging them with murder, they did in effect charge God with it. So they are not really, you know, in that sense, charging Moses and Aaron, but they are charging God himself. For God is the one who caused the earth to crumble under their feet. So the continued obstinacy, we said, the stubbornness of this people, notwithstanding the terrors of God's law, it was given in Mount Sinai, and the terrors of his judgment as they were here executed on the disobedient, Matthew Henry says, shows how necessary the grace of God is to the effectual change of men's hearts and lives, without which the most likely means will never attain to the end. Love will do what fear could not. Here you see, there was no, when there is no change in the heart, there is no change in the actions that comes forth, because the heart is where the seed of either goodness or defilement. So God's speedy appearance against the rebels when they had gathered against Moses and Aaron perhaps was a design to depose or murder them. They looked towards the tabernacle as if their misgiving consciences expected some frown stance, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared. Verse 42. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and Aaron, they looked towards the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the Lord, the glory of the Lord, appeared for the protection of his servants, and the confusion of his and their accusers and adversaries. Moses and Aaron thereupon came before the tabernacle, partly for their own safety. There they took the sanctuary from the strife of tongues, and partly for advice to know what was the mind of God upon this occasion. So Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. So the Lord sent Moses and Aaron came, you know, to find out what is it, what they are to do. Psalm 27 verse 5 says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. The psalmist says, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. So what do we do in a time when you see it seems that the trouble was arising? What was happening is that they were ready to kill Moses and Aaron. Now that was very, very, very serious, right? But you see that the people of God can resort to him, right? Those who are doing his will can resort to him for help. Psalm 31 verse 20 said, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. So you see, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God, there is great peace. There is great protection. Justice hereupon declares that they deserve to be consumed in a moment. Why should those live another day who hate to be reformed and whose rebellions are their daily practices? So they would not stop. One action lead to another, one action lead to another. They would carry on. And let just vengeance take place and do its work, and the trouble will soon be over. Only Moses and Aaron must first be secure. So the first thought, intercession. Intercession. What God is going to do. Right? Verse 41 says, on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the congregation gathered against Moses and Aaron. So you imagine the crowd of people that have arisen Right? They are moving forward, and they looked, and Moses, and they looked toward the congregation, tabernacle of the congregation. Suddenly, right, the Lord appeared. The cloud covered it, and Moses came before the tabernacle. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. Why did they fell upon their faces? Why did God told them, right, to get up and get shelter? Because the Lord's anger was kindled. The Lord's anger was kindled. And they fell upon their faces. The intercession which Moses and Aaron made for them. Though they had as much reason, one may think, as Elias or Elijah make intercession against Israel. Yet they forgive and forget the indignities offered them, and are the best friends their enemies have. Right. So here, God understood, right, the hearts of their people. Right. Did not Elijah make intercession to God against Israel? God has not cast off the people that he foreknew. So both Aaron and Moses fell on their faces humbly to intercede with God for mercy, knowing how great this provocation was. This they had done several times before, and upon similar occasions, Matthew Henry says, and though the people had basely requited them for it, yet God, having graciously accepted them, they still have recourse to the same method. Right? This is praying always. So they did not stop, loving the people. They did not stop doing what... You see, true love comes from God. God is the only one that can give us unconditional and a sacrificial love, right? And that is precious. Moses, perceiving that the plague had begun in the congregation of the rebels, that is the body of them which were gathered against him, sent Aaron by an act of his priestly office to make atonement for them. In other words, Aaron had to intervene. And Aaron readily went and burned incense between the living and the dead, not to purify the infected air, but to pacify an offended God. Right? So what was he doing? He took the incense, burned, and walked through the congregation. Right? Walked through the congregation. What was the reason? Well, it was to stop the plague. Stop the plague. So Matthew Henry says, not to purify the infected air with the incense, but to pacify an offended God, and so state the progress of the judgment. By this it appeared that Aaron was a very good man, and a man that had a true love for the children of his people, though they hated and envied him. Though God was now avenging his quarrel and pleading the cause of his priesthood, yet he interposes to turn away God's wrath. And so he ran in the midst of the congregation to help them. He did not say, let them suffer for it. When I come, I will be more welcome. He said, no, he did not do that. But as one tender of the life of every Israelite, he makes all possible speed into the gap at which death was entering. So they had to do something, right? And they have been charged with killing the people of the Lord. And so was it right? Was it correct? Well, if they had, then they would not have interceded, and they would not have intervene. So here, but those good men have taught us here by their example not to be sullen towards those that are peevish with us, nor take advantage which men give us by their provoking language, to deny them any kindness. So it was not tit for tat, but rather to return evil with good. And that's the way of the Lord. We must render good for evil. We have to do that which is right in the sight of God. And that's what the Lord require of us. Verse 46, the second thought, intervention, verse 46 to 50. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, put fire from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly into the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, and the plague is begun. So this is a death plague. Death plague is silent. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague had begun among the people. And he put on incense and make an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague was 14,700. So many, many more than what those that perished the day before. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. So here another 14,700. Aaron was a very bold man, Matthew Henry observed. He says, behold, bold to venture into the midst of the an enraged rubble. So it was a mob that was rising, and he ran into the mob at the danger of his own life against those who gathered against him, and so that the plague might be stayed, right? So this was what he did, right? So that what we said, the arrows of death that flies in its rage upon the hundreds and the thousands, and those who are falling on the left hand and on the right hand, can be saved. And so that was Aaron, the man of God, and ordained for men in things pertaining to God. So his call to the priesthood was hereby abundantly confirmed and set above all contradiction. God had not only saved his life when the intruders were cut off, but now made him an instrument for saving Israel. So you compare the censer of Aaron here with the censers of those sinners against their own souls. Those provoked God's anger, and this pacified it. Those destroyed men's lives, this saved them. No man therefore is left to doubt of Aaron's call to the priesthood. And those make out the best title to public honors that lay themselves most for public good and obtain mercy of the Lord to be faithful and useful. So if any man will be great, let him make himself the servant of all. And that was Aaron. And Aaron was a type of Christ. He came into the world to make an atonement for sin, to turn away the wrath of God from us, who by his mediation and intercession stands between the living and the dead, to secure his chosen Israel to himself, and to save them out of the midst of a world infected with sin and curse. So you see, when Christ hung on the cross, right, when he was upon the cross, he was between earth and heaven, right? He was standing in between, right, so that men who is expecting the wrath of God coming down from heaven, right, has that an intercessor that is in between. So he was suffering, there upon the cross, and you know, he was mocked. They said to him that if you are really so a savior, then save yourself first. Save yourself first. And so you see, in all this whole matter, God's justice was glorified, Matthew Henry says, in the death of some great execution, the sword of the Lord did in a very little time. Very fast, the plague came. 14,700 men laid dead on the spot. And there were few comparatively that died above the matter of Korah. The ringleaders only were made examples. But the people not being led to repentance by patience and forbearance of God with them, justice is not now so sparing of the blood of the Israelites. So the complaint of the death of hundreds as an unmerciful slaughter among the people of the Lord, here God silences the complaint by the slaughter of many thousands. So at first, a few hundred, the Lord said to them, stop, please stop. They would not stop. Then now you see the destruction was greater. Instead of hundreds, now thousands. Oh, those that quarrel with less judgments prepare greater for themselves. For when God judges, he will overcome. So you see here how his mercy was glorified in the preservation of the rest. God showed them that he could do by his what he could do by his power, and what he might do in his justice, and then showed them what he could do in his love and pity. How he, notwithstanding all this, preserved a people to himself in and by a mediator. And so we have a role as a mediator for the Lord, for those who oppose themselves. It is much for the glory of God's goodness. In conclusion, we say, quoting Matthew Henry, that many a time, even in wrath, he remembers mercy. And when judgments have been begun, prayer puts a stop to them. So ready is he to forgive, and so little pleasure does he take in the death of sinners. So God is long-suffering to us, but not willing that any should perish, but that all should be led to repentance. So may the Lord strengthen us as we look at this episode in Numbers chapter 16, how atonement was made for the people of God who were against themselves, and how the plague was stayed, and how the Lord's mercy prevailed. What a merciful God we serve. May the Lord strengthen us with the grace to follow him, to walk with him, and to do his work together as the Lord would enable his people to do according to his good word, as the Lord led them. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy grace to study thy word this morning. Once again, strengthen us by thy Holy Spirit, that thy word may take root and bear fruit in our lives. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.